The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
I mean, what's there to say? Nearly perfect game. It's a three-game losing streak. The Brewers, they got to Paul Skeens last year, but he's making it clear this is a new year, and he is in charge kind of like he was in his rookie season. Carried a perfect game into the seventh inning. The Brewers get one hit, 6-0 tonight in the opener against the Pittsburgh Pirates. In the background, plenty of Star Wars and lasers and fireworks going on here at the ballpark. But Jerry Augustine is with us as well. I'm Dominic Catronio. I mean, that's one of the best pitching performances I've ever seen, even if it wasn't completed all the way to the finish line. I was just sitting here marveling that the Brewers' back-to-back days get to see the two best pitchers on the planet, and they lived up to the billing.
Yeah, they did. And I'll tell you, you look at what Skeens did tonight, and you look at what Skubal did yesterday and for the first part of the ballgame, and they were both really, really good. I thought Paul Skeens was as sharp as I've ever seen him over here pitching against the Brewers, and you look what he saw. It wasn't just one pitch was better than another. He had the full repertoire of pitches and being able to locate them using that split finger effectively, and he just pitched a whale of a ball game.
I look at Skeens and the way that he commanded the first three innings of this game, and it's funny because yesterday with Skubal, he was arguably more dominant, where 28 pitches, 26 of them were strikes, he was getting whiffs, but yet the way that Skeens was setting up the rest of this game, the first time through the order, of the four strikeouts the first time through, two were on the fastball, two were on the splitter. And then it just made it very clear the rest of this game, the Brewers had no answer for that splitter, the splinker as it's known, because it has sinking action, and he throws it a splitter. Oh, by the way, it's 94 miles an hour. It's a unicorn pitch, and it performed like it tonight.
Yeah, it did. You know, the one thing you do, you look at a pitcher and you look at location of where he wants to go, and it just seemed like tonight that no matter what pitch he threw, he had an idea what it was going to, how he was setting up his pitches to throw to the Brewers. And you know, even when he got behind, he still didn't give any, didn't throw anything down the middle. He was working on the corners. He used all his pitches, and I thought the effectiveness of being able to go out there and set hitters up for that splinter, or whatever you want to call it, split finger, I'll tell you, it was so effective tonight, and he could throw it in good spots. And, you know, when you can throw the ball, get ahead and throw that type of pitch in good spots, you're going to be pretty effective. And he was right there all night tonight.
He had five 0-2 counts on the night, and four of the five ended in strikeouts. I mean, it's part of the reason you see so many early swings against him. I mean, Terang swung at the first pitch of the game. Contreras swung at all three of the pitches he saw in his first at-bat of the game. The reason you do it is because you're dead to rights as soon as you're behind, even 0-1, but especially when you're behind 0-2 or 1-2. That's just an example of why his stuff is so dominant and why you see teams have to change their game plan. The Brewers are a team that take pitches, grind out at-bats, and there were a handful of 7-8 pitch at-bats in this game. But the reason that these at-bats go so long is not because he's throwing balls, it's because his stuff is so nasty, you're fighting to stay alive.
Yeah, he is. And you look at Skeens and you're thinking, now here's a guy that's pure power. He's going to come right at you with all his power. But he's not that. He's not that guy that comes out there and he's that fastball. No, he really understands what he needs to do to be effectively, and he uses his total repertoire on with what he tries to accomplish. And I think that's as, you know, you looked at Skubal yesterday, how he was powerful yesterday. He was coming right at the Brewers, letting it go. But Skeens was different tonight. He was methodically going against these Brewer hitters. He understood what he wanted to do. He understands that he's had some troubles with the Brewers sometimes, and he had to be more in touch with what he wanted to accomplish. And I tell you what, he had a great game plan, and he pitched to that game plan very well.
The other thing that impressed me about Skeens in this game is now the fireworks and everything going on in our background is finally done. But the crazy thing about Skeens today, only four 3-ball counts. They were all full counts. He never fell behind 2-0 a single time tonight. I think that's super remarkable. He never had a 3-ball count without two strikes on the counts as well.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about, he was pick, you know, pointing and choosing exactly where he wanted to go. He'd see a guy be late on a fastball, he'd give him another one. Oh, he'd see a guy be early on the splitter, he'd, you know, keep him downstairs with the splitter. And then you see a guy taking pitches, he's locating a sweeper on the outside corner. I mean, it's really remarkable when you see the peak of the powers, right? The stars aligned as well for Skeens.
Yeah.
He came in fresh because his last game was cut short due to a rain delay.
That's right.
He only threw 4 innings and 50-some pitches. So he was certainly ready to go 90-plus pitches in today's game, and he was as fresh as he's going to feel the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, Dom, if we relate back, you know, to the World Baseball Classic, and he was going up, I think it was Dominican Republic or one of the teams that he was going up to, and he said that was going to be one of his biggest challenges that he's ever had because the style of hitters that the other team had. He was methodical. You could see what he had a game plan. He was going to pitch this game plan. He was not going to be Skeens, the guy who I'm going to fastball, throw it in, throw it out, throw it up, throw a curveball, get you out. He was methodically working. And I see so far this year that he's taken that learning curve that he got in the World Baseball Classic, and he's starting to use it as he goes through the season. And he's finding out that, yeah, it's great to be a power guy because he is a power guy. There's no question about it. But if you can be that person that can locate your fastball and use your secondary pitches effectively, boy, it just makes things a lot easier. I thought tonight he was just like, it was just like he was relaxed out there and knew exactly what he wanted to do. And I'll tell you what, if you ask him after the game, he probably said, you know what, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think you can see that he has a demeanor. He has a way, as the kids would say, aura of how he carries himself on
the
mound, that he expects greatness every time he's out there. I want you to react to these two images here. I tweeted them earlier at @Dom_Catronio. This first image is 5 fastballs at the top of the zone and 5 splitters at the bottom of the zone. Do you have an idea of what do you think this is? What is this picture painting here of Skeens tonight?
It's saying that he's going to dominate high.
Well, these are his swings and misses on tonight's game.
Oh, is that
5 fastballs at the top of the zone and 5 splitters below the zone.
Wow.
I mean, as perfect of a dot of a cluster of a game plan that you can see.
That is, you know, this goes to show you that, you know what, when he goes down, you look at probably those were a lot of his split fingers or his breaking balls or his sliders. And when he wanted to add, when he went down and got the strike low early, if he threw a breaking ball even in the middle of the plane, he could go up with that fastball or up with that four-seamer, two-seamer, whatever you want to do, and it was very effective for him tonight.
And then the second image here, this is all the called strikes on his night. There is, what, one, maybe, definitely two, maybe 3 pitches in the white
zone.
Everything else is on the black.
That's amazing.
Remarkable.
That's awesome what you put up there, Dom. That's, you know, when you see the value of pitchers and you talk about whether that pitcher's a power pitcher that throws in the upper 90s or that guy who throws in the 80s. Where's the one area you want to stay out of? You want to stay out of that neutral zone in the middle of the plate. And when you're looking at a guy like a Paul Skeens going up and seeing 3 pitches of all the pitches he did, you look at the circumference or the triangle that went out the strike zone and you see only 3 pitches down the center. That's unbelievable for a guy who's a power pitcher that needs to command the strike zone, that understands what he wants to do. And you talk about methodical, you can't be any more than methodical than that.
Yeah, those are the called strikes. Of course, there were some pitches in the middle that hit for ground balls or pop-ups, or the Brewers simply did not have an answer for Skeens today. And then that shifts the conversation. We'll take our first break here, where what's the difference between great pitching, which is what we saw tonight, and poor offense? We'll try to discern that and try to explain that sometimes you do have to tip your cap in the big leagues, and I think tonight was one of those nights.
Brewers
fall 6-0 to the Pirates, game 1 of a 3-game series. Back after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
The easiest who's hot, who's cold of the season. It's brought to you by our friends at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Who's hot? Paul Skeens. Who's cold? The Brewers. They've lost 3 in a row, but that's an easy way to look at it, but we can get a little bit more specific with how to break down this performance from Skeens and from the Brewers offense tonight. But spring is almost here, and for a limited time, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is giving you a free AC system with the purchase of a new gas furnace. Stay comfortable year-round, but hurry, spots are limited. Call today or visit Sider, SEIDER.com. to schedule your appointment. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. You know, we teased it going into break. what's the difference between poor offense mm-hmm. and a great, you know, pitching performance? You know, we've given all the reasons this is a great pitching performance, how he was ahead of virtually every batter. There was really nothing hit hard. There were a couple deep counts. Yes, he got him out after seven innings as opposed to six or whatever that is. But I look at this lineup today for the Brewers, and I know they're hurting. This is getting closer to what you can deal with while Vaughn and Churio and Yelich are on the injured
That's
list.
Right.
But still, this lineup today, it has won them games before in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this was a poor offensive showing as much as getting overpowered. There's a reason why the greats are great, is because they do this to play off lineups like they like Paul Skenes did today.
Yeah, you just, you know, you go into some games, you know, let's go flip it back a day and let's go with Skubal. How Skubal was, boy, he was dynamic for all those innings. All of a sudden, was it the seventh inning where we scored the runs?
Yeah.
We were able to come in and score the runs. He was starting to lose it a little bit in that we not only was he, I don't think as far as starting to lose it, I think they were just having better at-bats against him. He might have been getting more at bats, more pitches in the each at bat, and then he'd center the ball, and the Brewers did a nice job of putting the ball in play. And I think when you look at tonight's game, Skenes wasn't going to allow that. Mm-hmm. He just was not going to allow it. You know, you put the things up on the that was great, the two screenshots that you had. It showed that he just was not going to give in tonight. He was not going to give in to the Brewers, because you know why? He's understood that he's pitched here, and Brewers have had their way with him a little bit. So I think he came in with a total different attitude that, you know what? I don't care how long I'm in the ball game. I'm going to go as deep as I can, but I am not giving, and I'm going to pitch to what I do best, and he's going to be successful. Where yesterday, I think they got later in the game, and I think with Skubal, they got in some deep counts, and then he made a mistake and get the ball over the plate, and they were able to put the ball in play and score some runs off of him.
I think one of the biggest compliments I can give Skenes tonight is the way that his only two looking strikeouts tonight were to Tyler Black and Garrett Mitchell.
Yeah.
Two guys who have an elite plate discipline tool, that are understanding of where the strike zone is. And when you go back and look at those pitches, those are perfectly dotted yep. on the black, where you can't challenge it because it's going to still be a strike.
Yeah.
You swing at it, you're going to maybe break your bat or you're going to pop one up. You have to be dialed in for 98 on the corner. Or then furthermore, if you do decide that in mid at bat that you're going to be mid pitch, you're going to, I'm going to swing, you're late, and it's gone, and it's by you. And to get two guys like that who are selective with their swings, and I know Garrett struggled with making contact in the zone, but he doesn't generally swing out of the zone. And
that's
to get
right.
him to take a strike, and Tyler Black, for that matter, who's back up in the show, and that just kind of gives you an idea of how deceptive and how hard it is to pick up discerning between fastball, splitter, sweeper, whatever it may be, from Paul Skenes.
Yeah, you know, you look at Skenes, and I know we're spending a lot of time at him, but he's, you know, he's a Cy Young Award winner. He's one of the best in all of baseball, maybe the best in all of baseball. It's just that, you know, when you're a hitter and you have to cover both sides of the plate on a pitcher who's dotting the outside lines on every batter that goes up there, that makes it tough. That makes you have to make some really strong adjustments. And I think this is one of the nights tonight that he not only was able to dot the inside and outside part of plate, but like you just showed, he was able to go up and down. And when, boy, now you're talking in four different quadrants of guys who's really special. And I'm going to tell you what, Skenes was that tonight.
And again, we can sit here and talk about it till the cows come home. Skenes beat the Brewers. I mean,
that's it.
That could be the whole show, and maybe you can turn off the radio now. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I mean, that is the story. When you get one hit and you have two base runners the whole night, I could sit here and complain, like, oh my goodness, it's over. They got beat, and it happens. And I think this is, you know, I gave the example in Brewers Weekly today, but the analogy that Jeff Cirillo made a couple of years ago, where, look, you're going to lose 60 games, guaranteed.
Yep.
Every season, you are going to lose 60 games. You're going to win 60 games, guaranteed. And, well, this is one of those games that fall in that guaranteed pile, where it's, yep. Hey, look, you got beat. It could have been 20-0. It could have been 1-0. Paul Skenes was not doing anything, and I think the Brewers' offense tomorrow will be ready to jump on a guy that we've seen a lot in Mitch Keller.
Mm-hmm.
They see another right-handed pitcher, which is good news. In fact, it's all righty starters for this series against the Pirates, which helps their lineup, which is why they bring up Tyler Black right now. And I see this offense as you get through this storm. I mean, look at all the starters they faced in this last week. Even going back to like Kevin Gausman.
I know.
To end the series, in the series against the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Gausman, you have Alcantara, you've got Eury Pérez, you've got obviously Skubal, even Casey Mize was a 1-1.
Yes.
Mitch Keller was a first rounder as well, so don't sleep on him too. But I mean, this is the big leagues and it ain't easy.
You know, it's good. You're pitching, and you know what you got to do is you got to make adjustments. You know, every day you go out there, it's going to be a little bit different. Is Paul Skene's going to go out there every day and have the stuff that he did tonight? He would hope he would, but that it doesn't work like that. And it's going up there. You set a tone early in the ball game, and you set a tone of how the game is going. Really, both of these pitchers in the first two innings were phenomenal. I mean, you look at the way Woody was in the first two innings, and along with Skene's, and they're matching each other pitch for pitch almost. And those things happen, but you know, you set a tone by the way you start a game, you set a tone by the way the game goes, and you make adjustments. And I thought tonight Skene's did an excellent job of making adjustments. I think the Pittsburgh Pirates made some good adjustments against Woody and were able to manufacture runs. You know, we talk about, you know, it's if you continually put ones on the board, you got a chance to always come back and win a ball game. They did that. They manufactured runs per game off of Woody. They put the ball in play, and when they needed it, they got the big hit. And I think they gave the Brewers a little bit of their own medicine. They scored a couple of their runs. They scored with two outs, getting big two-out hits. And so I think it was just one of those nights where you know, Skene's was on, Woody threw the ball good, but they were able to manufacture, and they manufactured with two outs.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Woody. And Shane Drouin, very quietly, his performance is going to be really important for the rest of the weekend. We'll explain all that coming up on the other side of this break here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
You know, for the job during the game, I have to do a lot of research and stats and look up. Back. I tell you what, my hand is still cramping from all the perfect game notes and no-hitter notes that we had to get ready for this game for the just-in-case. Now, none of them don't have to get used, but I'm going to empty the tank a little bit here. Brewers fall 6-0 to the Pirates, and they nearly were perfect gamed. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Cotroni. I mean, my favorite note that comes up in perfect games, and it also pertains to both of these clubs. You know, the closest the Pirates have ever had to a perfect game was Harvey Haddix. 1959, maybe some more experienced fans know what I'm talking about here, versus Lou Burdett, the 1957 World Series MVP of the Milwaukee Braves,
yep.
Pirates Braves at Milwaukee County Stadium, and Harvey Haddix carried a perfect game for 12 innings.
Amazing.
The only problem was the game was nothing. And they lose in the 13-1-0.
That's right. I do remember talking about, I'm playing the Pirates as much as we played them. That always comes back to Harvey Haddix game against Lou Burdett, and you know, two great pitchers. I actually had the opportunity to meet them both, and you know, you meet them, you look at Harvey, you go like, holy cow, you're a little guy here. What's going on? You know, but he was dynamic. And Lou Burdett, you meet him, I just got so much respect for him. I got to meet him. He's more of that slide slinger, a little low three-quarter arm, and he throw that heavy sinker. And he says, I would maybe just throw one of those pitches you're not supposed to throw. And then he's talking about winning it up a little bit. But, you know, to be around for a game like that had to be just something so special. I would love to watch a replay. That's how beautiful it was.
It's pretty remarkable back in 1959. But in this game, the Brewers, Brandon Woodruff, he gets out-dueled. Look, Woodruff didn't pitch as bad as the line appears. I know he gave up three runs in this game, but one of them's a solo homer. You tip your cap, Connor Griffin, happy 20th birthday, kid. The fourth inning, a leadoff double by Brandon Lau. Garrett Mitchell almost made a remarkable catch. But he nearly got out of that frame, but Nick Gonzalez swung at a first pitch and was able to hit a base hit into left field to score Brandon Lau. So, all right, 2-0. But, again, the Cardinal sin, a leadoff walk in the fifth inning, ultimately came around to score. And there was the tweener play at first with Jake Bowers. Now, ultimately, it did not matter. Even if he did just go to the bag, the run was still scoring, so that was still going to make it 3-0. But All in all, what do you take away from Brandon Woodruff tonight in his strategy against the Pirates?
Yeah, I thought he threw the ball well. I you know, you look at this Pirate team. This is a little bit different Pirate team that we've seen in the past. They look like they're on the offensive side. They're a little better than they have been in the past. They, you know, picking up Lau and O'Hearn like they did in Ozuna. Gives them a little bit more punch on the as far as the offensive goes. But, you know, the one thing that was impressive, I think, is their ability to get some big hits with two strikes, with two outs. And, you know, let's tip our hat to the kid tonight, Griffin, 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs and just swung the bat extremely well tonight. And O'Hearn had a good night, was 2-for-4, hit some big base hits off of lefties. But their abilities to score, they scored a couple runs with two outs. And, you know, sometimes when you get in a game like this and you're pitching, you're playing against Paul Skenes, that's enough. And they were able to do that.
You know, when I look at Woody's outing, it was really fascinating. The first 10 batters of this game, he only threw one off-speed pitch.
Yeah.
It was all fastballs.
He was going after him.
I think there are a couple of things that happened there. William kept hitting it because it was working.
Yeah.
But the Pirates caught on. And I think that the Brewers then started to, you know, William and Woody then started to mix things up, used a changeup. But then, you know, they kind of overplayed their hand, to use a poker expression, where, you know, let's say I've got two jacks and I see a jack on the board, but there's also suits showing there, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good, I got three jacks, I'm doing great, but I'm not noticing, oh man, there's four hearts there now, oh no, what's this river card gonna be? And then bam, it's another heart, right? And then they're that all of a sudden the guy you're in heads up with, you know, I'm just using a poker analogy, but the point being is that they didn't miss fastball the second and third time through the order.
Yeah, it did. You know, I was really impressed with the way Woody Wedge started the game. He was going to be aggressive against his team and, you know, make him commit to his fastball. And he was dynamic the first two innings, the way he threw the ball. And then it got to the third inning. It looked like he started getting into late in the order, and he started using his breaking ball a little bit more. And I think what they were able to do is they were able to make some adjustments on it. But, you know, Woody threw the ball well. You know, you set a tone by how you want to pitch in the beginning of the game, and he did that. He did that in the first two innings with the way he threw the ball, got six up, six down, was able to throw the ball, got a couple strikeouts in the first two innings, and, you know, then after that, the big thing was that Connor Griffin hit the home run on a ball over the middle part of the plate, and those things happen. The kid hit a ball, a fastball up in the middle of the plate, but I tell you, Woody, I thought really threw the ball the first three innings. I thought he threw the ball pretty well.
I mean, you look at it, today the Brewers kept the top fourth of the order, you know, top one through four, only one hit between the likes of O'Neill Cruz, Brandon Lau, Brian Reynolds, and Marcell Ozuna. Two walks in there, neither one came in to score, but the leadoff double from Lau came in to score in the fourth. It was all the bottom half of the order, you know, Ryan O'Hearn and Spencer Horowitz and the rookie, the young stud, Connor Griffin. So I sit here and go, hey, you get that formula against the top half, keep that going tomorrow with Miz, and then maybe hopefully you get back on track against the bottom half, because they still had a lot of good things going their way.
Yeah, your player of the game, you know, you got to say is all, you know, when you really look at it, it's got to be Skenes the way he pitched. I mean, just threw the ball excellent, but if there's a sub player of the game, you got to give it to the kid, the Griffin, because I'll tell you what, he hit the home run and he put the ball in play when you had to put the ball in play. He got a couple big base hits, he put the ball in play, which advanced runners, and I think that was the difference in this ball game. I think him doing what he did moved runners around, and everybody got involved in it, and they were able to manufacture runs against the Brewers, and that's what happened tonight.
Well, I also want to shout out Shane Drouin today. He gives up three runs, only one of them earned in four innings of key relief, because for Shane Drouin, who gets called up today in replace of Carlos Rodriguez, that Drouin, he pitched well, he had a pair of strikeouts and a walker, and he, honestly, the two unearned runs, he did his job in the eighth inning. The Brewers defense let him down there with the throwing error by David Hamilton that should have ended the inning, and then the tweener that Bowers couldn't handle to keep the inning going, and then Connor Griffin cashed it in. But Shane Drouin going four innings tonight with an off day looming on Monday means a couple of things. He's obviously down the next 2 days, but now you've got the entire leverage bullpen who's trying to get back on track, I understand, but everybody is available each of these next 2 days with the off day looming on Monday.
You know, every once in a while you come in the game and you know they brought up you brought him up and he's a guy who it was said you can extend him in the game. He can pitch multi innings because he's been a starter. You know, him coming in the game and giving those four innings, I thought he threw the ball excellent tonight. I thought he threw the ball very well. What a great experience for a young guy that's come up after he had his first appearance in the big leagues, to come up and pitch like he did and really pitch very well. And you look at what it does not only for him, but what it does for, like you just said, the ball club. Your bullpen is rested. It has that full day of rest, and now you look for the weekend with the off day on Monday. I'll tell you what, it's looking pretty good for the weekend.
Every game leads to the next, and the Brewers certainly can have McGill and Ashby and Hall and Serpa and Uribe get back on track, because they're going to need them. They've only pitched once in these last few days, given just yesterday. And who knows? Maybe they'll need it behind Miz tomorrow. Score more runs. The other team will certainly help too. And the Brewers will try to give you another win tomorrow, Augie.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Now, you know, we got a great matchup. You know, you look at with Mitch Keller. This is a guy who can. He's like you said, he's a number one draft choice, and he's been throwing the ball well. This is a guy who can go out and he can throw the ball very well. But you know, you got the Miz, and the Miz I think is out there after last start, wants to get out there and just do something pretty special. And I'm looking forward to him to go deep in the ball game.
Yeah, had a weird first inning against Miami, then hunkered down from there. Just try to lock it in against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who arguably he had his best start of his big league career against.
That's right.
Last season, Augie. Appreciate you as always.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Back after this, we'll talk a little bit about these injury updates because, yeah, Tyler Black was in the lineup. Why was he here? We'll explain on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Let's do a little buy or sell here, shall we, and give you some injury updates along the way. It's brought to you by your friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. One thing I am buying, and you may call me crazy for it, I'm buying that this lineup is looking and starting to look a lot better. Tyler Black being called up today will certainly help this lineup. Now, the Brewers, in response, also designated Luis Matos for assignment. You add a left-handed hitter that can get on base. He can play first base. He can play left field. He's a DH, and he's at a left-handed DH. You know the Brewers have when Yelich's normally in the lineup. Not saying he's Christian Yelich, but it also allows the Brewers to not have to play Gary Sanchez at first base, to not have to have both of their catchers in the game at the same time in case something goes wrong. It gives them a chance, maybe if they're facing a tough lefty, that you can play both of those catchers with the DH as one of them and the catcher as the other, and Black can come in and play first base, let's say if Gary is playing first base on that day, and then Gary comes out of the game, or Bowers comes into the game, and Tyler can go to left, whatever it may be the Brewers need to do. I'm buying that Tyler Black makes this lineup better, and I think he's going to get a bit of a runway here, as talking to Pat Murphy and to Tyler about it. We'll have more on it on tomorrow's Brewers warm-up, but the fact that he is going to get, finally, some extended runtime, and with no timetable for Yelich right now, and still with Churio and Vaughn on the way back, certainly they're helpful. They're not even begun their rehab assignment, so you'd imagine this is at least 2 weeks of good run for Tyler Black, and then furthermore, he's left-handed. You're going to face a lot of righties. He's probably going to get some reps as the DH when those two do return, or maybe even in left field when those return, if he's performing as the Brewers hope he does. I mean, it sounds blunt, but the truth of the matter is, this is going to be one of the big couple of weeks in the career of Tyler Black. It's time to sink or swim. The Brewers have already used the option year of this year, so he'll have one more option year for next year. And I should say, no, that this is his final option year. So next spring training, there could be a decision to be made about Tyler Black, who will arrive next time they were in Arizona, without any options remaining. Now, the thing that I'm selling about this team right now and what I'm looking forward to and trying to figure out, I'm still selling and trying to figure out the outfield picture, because all of a sudden the platoons are really starting to show up for the Brewers. And I know this is less about Paul Skenes tonight and more about the last couple of days and the last week or so for the Brewers, in that the platoons have really come out hard and trying to get as much as they can when they're facing specifically left-handed pitching. When you look at it for somebody like Garrett Mitchell, right? Garrett, pulling up the stats right here. Sorry, the whole thing broke down on me here. But when you look at the Brewers lefties versus lefties, Garrett's only got 18 plate appearances against lefties this season. And in those games, yes, he is 4-for-12. He also has 5 walks in there. But of the 8 outs that he has recorded, 7 of them are via strikeout. Bryce has slowed down against lefties. He is just 5-for-26. Then you look at somebody like Sal Frelick. He is just 2-for-22 against lefties. That's 0.91. Are the Brewers going to go really hard with the platoons in the outfield here moving forward? Now, again, do you rather have Sal Frelick or one of these younger guys on the bench, you know, say a Greg Jones or a Brandon Lockridge in the lineup when you're facing a lefty? Now, Lockridge, maybe because he's right-handed, could certainly play a factor into this, but that's where you're really feeling it right now. As we've said over and over the last couple of weeks, this team was meant to have righty pop from Jackson Chourio and Andrew Vaughn. Both of them torch left-handed pitching. So the Brewers are going to try to create some protection for those guys when they do return. Injury updates for both of them. Andrew Vaughn hit on the field here today for the first time. He had been working his way up from off a tee to flips to off the machine, now hitting off the field. Jackson Chourio hit on the field on the road trip with the Brewers this past week. He also, Adam McAlvey wrote about this over on MLB.com, and he told us in the media that they have been using the Traject system, which is the fancy pitching machine where you're able to augment a pitcher's windup and design the exact pitches that you're going to see from a certain pitcher into the box, even when the team's on the road. And what him and Chourio did, because they weren't cleared for velocity contact yet, was they would have a sawed-off bat where all they had was the handle and just simulating timing where they would swing at pitches, keep their eyes trained, and keep the timing on point. I think that's just a fascinating, smart way to use the technology the Brewers have spent cash money on. I know you don't see a bill on the contract list of, hey, the Brewers paid for the Traject system. By the way, that's not an ownership model. That's a subscription rental model, by the way. I know every team has it, but every team has to pay a pretty penny for it every single season. Every team has multiple Traject systems across their formula. So, I mean, you have one down in Arizona. You have one down in the Dominican. You have one here at the ballpark, right? So, and even some teams in the minor leagues have it in their minor league affiliates. And it's just a fascinating tool to use to help you get better at the game and even help you train your eyes like the Brewers are doing right now with Chourio and Vaughn to get them ready to hit the ground running as soon as possible. For Chourio, he is still probably about a week away from getting clearance from his doctor to begin a rehab assignment. Vaughn is a little sooner. Vaughn will have a follow-up appointment on Tuesday with his surgeon, make sure everything is clean, and then a rehab assignment could follow immediately on the heels of that. And Nashville is back at home next week, so everybody down in Nash Vegas, if you want to go see some rehabbers, they could be coming to town very, very soon. Brewers fall today 6-0 as we shift things over now to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, in just a moment. Take a breather. Come back with more after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall today 6-0. I can sense frustrations from Twitter, from the text line, from the chats. Hey, man, it's April 24th. The Brewers are one game above 500 despite gestures at everything. 3 everyday players on the injured list right now under performance from their bullpen, and they're still 13-12. There is still so much season to be played. Today's game number 25, an unofficial marker, if you will. And yet, in these 25-game segments, right, you've got 5 more of these and another 12 games on the back end of that. So call it 5.5 more of these. And if, you know, you go the same record you did for these 25 games, you're going to end up with about 87, 88 wins. And that's on the fringe of the playoffs. Now, they're going to get better when those 3 players return and the bullpen gets back on track. You would expect a few more months to have more than one game above 500, but this month is not yet over, and this series is not yet over. The Brewers have a good homestand here with the Pirates and the Diamondbacks, an off day in the middle of it, use it to their advantage, and get back on track. And The cavalry is coming. You can hear the footsteps. They're getting closer. They're just not ready yet. The Brewers fall 6-0. Pat Murphy was very willing to tip his cap to Paul Skeens after his performance tonight. Here's the manager addressing the media.
That's the best I've seen from anyone, I think. Skeens, if I can. Yeah, Skeens was outstanding, man. He was on it. He had the top and the bottom. Splitter really, really good, but the command of the heater at the top. He attacked guys just the way they needed to be attacked. It was really good. Now Woody was really, really good. You know, he was give up the homer, but other than that, he easily could have given up nothing, you know. He pitched out of that jam as good as you can. I thought Woody was really, really, really good. And give Drohan credit. He that's his second outing in the big leagues, and he threw four innings against a really good offensive team. And yeah.
Just
think about telling guys just to jump in front of it. You know what I mean? Just try to jump in front of it and get hit. But it's really, really tough. You know. What's that?
Starts with the fastball.
Well, I mean, he has so many ways of doing it. He throws four seam, he throws two seam, throws a splitter, he's got a sweeper. He can do other things and manipulate the ball too. But that 98 jumps on you a little bit. It isn't like a softer 98. It gets on you, and his command. I mean, that's what it's about. Top rail. It's tough to get 98 in the top rail consistently the way he did. He was really, really good. In the splitter, you can't, obviously the guys can't pick it up. He was on it tonight. He got beat a couple times by us, and he, not necessarily, like I said, we didn't really beat him, but we got runs off him. And you know, he was on a mission tonight, and you got to tip your hat to him. He was really, really good.
Is there anything that you want some of your younger pitchers here to learn from watching him, or is he just so unique that he's just kind of resolved?
Well, I mean, his intent, I can't. The delivery's solid. It's repeatable. You know, he holds himself to an extremely high standard. It's obvious, and that goes for every pitch he makes. And his intent was very, very good. It was very clear what his plan was, and he executed it. And that's good.
You try to take the optimistic out of going into this 2 days of it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Now that you're through it and it's tough. What do you take away from it?
Yeah, you know, like we've said forever in baseball, good pitching, great pitching, takes you a long way. You know, and the two guys we faced are really, really, really top notch. And especially when you've got a decimated lineup, the way you do, we got three of our top hitters out. You take three hitters out of every lineup and then face those guys. You know, you're going to be in tough shape. So. Proud of our guys still. I mean, again, we didn't quit. We didn't lay down. We were, you know, faced a buzzsaw tonight.
On that offensive front, one homer in the last nine. Just how tough is it right now without those guys to consistently with the slug?
Yeah, I mean, there's something good going to come out of this. You know, there's something good going to come out of it. We've got players like establishing himself in the big leagues. A kid like Hamilton is establishing, like, I can really help a winning team. We got guys, you know, coming into their own in that way. Mitchell's back healthy and providing a lot for us right now. So there's good in there, you know. Yeah, I think it's a matter of Lockridge is getting a chance to play all the time. He never has. So he's like a rookie trying to, you know, like find his way, and done some really good things. Sal is getting his game back to where we all know he can be, especially his last 10 at-bats, whatever, have been really good, a lot of them. I think there's a lot of good things happening. Contreras is swinging the bat very, very good. You all know what Terang is doing, so we've got some good things going on. We just have to hang with it right now and understand what we're going through. And there's nobody feeling sorry for us. You know, we led baseball in wins last year.
Yeah, they led baseball in wins last year, and I promise you, everybody else in this division is thrilled that they can say the Brewers are 13-12, and maybe we don't have to worry about them this year. That's exactly what you were thinking in mid-May of last year, and look how that season still turned out to have the most wins in baseball. That's just a reminder of how much baseball there is still to play. If you want somebody to bang on the table and complain and scream and moan and whine, go somewhere else. I mean, that's just not my thing. There's plenty of people that do that on the radio, and I'm just not one of those people. But I do understand when there's time to, you know, kind of crank the lever going forward, but when you have the proper fuel to do so. The Brewers are still waiting on that lever. Now, if we're talking, let's say, 2-3 weeks into the return of Churio and Vaughn, and it's a slow start and you still see some of the same problems, then you start to sit here and ponder of what this season could look like. But we're not at that point yet. So why cry over milk that isn't yet spilled? Maybe instead it's going to be poured and you're going to get even more. You're going to get a whole new gallon. I don't know. Plenty of time in this season to monitor. Let's do a quick lap on the out-of-town scoreboard. We're only going to the bottom of the hour since there's no highlights. The Brewers got one hit. What do you want me to do, right? Quick lap at the out-of-town scoreboard. Some of the things that you need to know about the baseball season right now. Back on the other side of this break. Here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Let's take a lap around the league here, because I know it feels bad and you feel frustrated that the Brewers aren't playing, you know, like they did last season. 13-12 ain't that bad in the National League right now. Just telling you, it ain't that bad. Let me explain why. Have you seen what's going on in Philly or the Mets? They are the two worst records in the National League. Yes, worse than the Nats. Yes, worse than the Rockies. Know who's also in that conversation? The San Francisco Giants, who are currently losing 8-0 to the Miami Marlins. The Marlins are about to be 500. People told me crazy, said I was crazy when I said Miami's going to be the last team in the playoffs in the National League. And I thought that Philly wasn't going to make the playoffs. Now, I did also think that the Mets were going to win the division. But that's beside the point. Right now, the Mets fall 4-3 in Queens to the Rockies. Freddy Peralta gets a tough luck loss when he worked into the sixth. He only allowed 2 runs, struck out 8. But Michael Lorenzen, how about that? 7 strong innings against the Mets. The Phillies lost to the Braves tonight in Atlanta, 5-3. That game was started by Grant Holmes for Atlanta. He gets a quality start with 6 innings. And Matthew Painter gets saddled with the loss on the other side for the Phils. And we already mentioned the 8-0 lead right now for the Marlins in San Francisco. How about the division? Wacky one at Great American Ballpark. Stop me if you heard that one before. The Tigers scored the first 5 runs of this game. Homers from Riley Green and Javi Baez. And now the Reds have scored 7 unanswered. It is 7-5. In the bottom of the 7th inning, 2 homers for Matt McClain, his first 2 homers of the season after having the spring of dreams where I think he had 8 homers in spring training. Nathaniel Lowe hit a homer in that one as well for the Reds. That game is getting wacky. And yes, here's the wackiest part. Because it's Great American Ballpark, the 7 runs that the Reds have scored, they're 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position, because that's baseball. Out west, Dodgers up 4-0 on the Cubs. And the Mariners defeat the Cardinals 3-2 earlier tonight here in the division. Take our last break and preview tomorrow after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, last couple minutes of the program tomorrow, 6 o'clock, first pitch. The Miz going up against Mitch Keller. We're on the air at 5. Brewers warm-up gets you covered, leading you up to the game. Sunday, 1:10 first pitch, and we're on the air at noon on Sunday. Carmen Majinski going for the Pirates in that one. Kyle Harrison going for the Brewers. Off day coming up on Monday. Tuesday night, Arizona Diamondbacks in town. Back-to-back night games Tuesday, Wednesday at 6:40, and then the getaway day, 12:40, Thursday, as the last day of April. So just 5 games left here in the month, and the Brewers trying to keep it with an above 500 record for March/April. Then they hit the road The Brewers next weekend will be in our nation's capital taking on the Nats, and then on to St. Louis to finally get into some National League flavor here for four consecutive series. And then the Yankees come to town, so that'll be here before you know it. The Brewers tomorrow with Miz and a refreshed bullpen can certainly use a lot in their advantage and have a lot going in their direction. And on Connor Griffin, though, on the other side, I mean, this is a young phenom that I think Brewers fans are sick of Brian Reynolds, and, well, you're going to have to start getting sick of Connor Griffin, because I went downstairs and was just watching batting practice and hanging around the Pittsburgh dugout earlier today, and I tell you what, that kid is special. And when you hear all of the scouts and the evaluators and the prognosticators agree on something, especially when it comes to a prospect, and everybody was as excited and sort of projecting about this kid as the best prospect in baseball since Mike Trout, you know, you may think, okay, that's just sensationalist headlines. People want to get a click. Well, you saw the end of the first chapter of the book today, getting his first big league homer, a three-hit day on his 20th birthday with a stolen base and a homer. That's going to be a problem for a long time here in the Central. But the Brewers try to solve it tomorrow with Jacob Mizorowski. That is going to do it for our program here this evening. We will talk to you tomorrow. Again, we're on the air at 5 for Brewers warm-up. It is a 6:10 first pitch. Come get your windbreaker here at the ballpark. Our thanks to producer Evan Witz-Allison. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.
Kitchen remodeling projects consistently rank